We're hot.
Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and amen. One amen for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. You have tuned into New Beginnings Ministry, and understand that we say New Beginnings is not just for the young, and that is true. Welcome to New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I'm your host just for a little while, just to open things up. Pastor Reginald C.A. Miles for this evening. Elder John Clay, Dr. John Clay, is currently on assignment, working his way in, so he will be on later on for the broadcast. For all our first-time listeners, you may ask, well, what is New Beginnings Ministry? We are actually an internet-based ministry where you can actually listen and share one with another of the Word of God. Now, what you can also do is tune in by way of telephone and listen in and speak. The telephone number, the calling number, for those of you who are actually listening by internet, and if you desire to call in, the number is 347-237-4054. If you desire to call in and speak to the speaker of the hour, have any questions, comments, or concerns, once again, the telephone number is 347-237-4054. And for those of you who would like to see some of the behind the scenes that we do here at New Beginners Ministry, we have also have a Zoom platform that you can actually tune into. The code for the Zoom platform is 505-563-6808. Once again, the code is 505-563-6808. Now, many of the platforms on Zoom actually have a passcode. Well, here at New Beginners Ministry, you don't have to worry about that because we have relaxed that. Just like God said, all you have to do is knock and the door will be open. Our door is open. And the way that you can knock is putting the code 505-563-6808. Also, what you can do, just before I forget, we have many, over 500 messages in the archives. And if you wanted to actually receive one of these messages to download to your own personal archive, whatever may be on your computer or on your phone, you can go to the top link, click the download button, you can share it there. And to get there, you go to open up a browser, open up Blog Talk Radio, type in We Can Begin Again or New Beginners Ministry in the search field. Once you press enter, you will see all of the messages that have been here over the years. Also, once again, we'd like to let you know that Brother Moderator Elder John Clay is currently on assignment. He will be in later on today. Now, on today is normally first Wednesday we would hear from him. But scripture is very clear. Man, it's not good for man to be alone. So since I'm filling in on the opening, we have one whom which I call Sis Reverend Doctor, his wife, Elder Dr. Suzanne Clay, who will be bringing forth the word in the way in which she does. Now, also normally we will have on this first Wednesday our Mother Gloria, who will come forth in prayer. Well, on today, she will not be here because she's currently under physician's care from the report I have received. So we want to lift her up in prayer, and I will allow, well, I'm not allowed, I will let Sister Reverend Doctor give you a full report on that of what she has known to be. Now, what we're going to do, as we would normally do without going out proper protocol, if there's anyone who you believe or anyone you know or anyone you want to put on the prayer list, please unmute your mics at this time if you have them muted. And please call the name before the Lord at this time.
Leah W.
You said.
Are there any others?
Leroy.
Is there any more?
But I just put in mine. I just put in
Norman R.
Are there any more names that we would like to put on the prayer list?
Cleo. Lauren S.
We're here. We'll pray because we are New Beginnings Ministry. Now, I've just received a notification that our Sister Edna will pray on today. So at this time, I'll pass the platform over to her. Sister Edna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, brother. God bless you, Pastor.
All right. Long Island's in the house.
Yes, indeed. And God bless you, First Lady Suzanne and Dr. John, who's on assignment, and everyone. I am honored to just fill in, just like Pastor Miles said, just fill in for a few minutes for Mother Gloria Warmack. And I thank God for everyone that's going to be in this atmosphere. I just want to go to the throne of grace, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just take over. And one thing about it, all those names that have been called out, I thank God for the angels that are writing all those names down. If I can remember, and some of y'all were kind of low, I couldn't hear you, but we thank God. Well, let's go to the throne of grace. We're going as body of believers. Father God, in Jesus' name, as we come boldly to your throne of grace, but yet humbly, dear God, we thank you for this day, dear God, we've never seen before. Here we are again, dear God, another Wednesday. Well, we thank you, dear Father, that you've kept us and you watched over us up until this appointed time. And we are so grateful, dear God. We thank you that it's because of your goodness, your grace, and your mercy that we weren't consumed. But we give you praise and glory for this night. This time, dear God, we give you praise right now because you said in your word, men should always give thanks because that's your will concerning us. So we ask you today, Heavenly Father, to forgive us for anything we've said or done that wasn't pleasing in your sight, knowingly or unknowingly, dear God. We ask you to wash us and cleanse us again with your precious Holy Spirit. We ask you, dear God, to forgive us as we're going to forgive everyone that have trespassed against us. We thank you, dear God, because we don't want these prayers and supplications to be hindered. We don't want it to just go up into the ceiling and come back down. But we want your angels to usher them in to your throne room, dear God. So we thank you today. We thank you, dear God. You heard the concerns of all the people that shout out or spoke out the names, those things that are on their heart. We ask you, dear God, to heal, deliver, and set free. For you are the God that heals. You are the bread of life, dear God. We thank you that you're the great physician, the great PhD, the power of healing and deliverance. So, Father, we thank you today that you just don't deal with the natural, but you deal with the spiritual man as well. We thank you that your word said you deal with the whole man. You're giving us everything that pertaineth to life and godliness. So we give you praise today, dear God. We thank you for blessing everyone on this line, blessing every household on this line, blessing, dear God, hallelujah, making ways out of no ways, dear God. We don't always understand what's going on, but dear God, by and by, the song says, by and by, but we know that you are the author and finisher of our faith, and our faith and our trust is in you. Now we hold up these names. We hold up Mother Gloria. We hold up everything in each and every person's body that may be feeling an issue, like the woman that had the issue of blood. No matter what, dear God, she touched the hem of your garment. And what we do, we touch the hem of your garment in prayer. Hallelujah. And we thank you today. We thank you that you're healing us and you're delivering us and you're setting us free, dear God. We give you praise and glory for this atmosphere of healing. And when all those that are coming in to hear the word, dear God, they won't leave the same. They'll say, didn't our hearts burn? Didn't we receive from you, dear God? So we ask you today, as you're blessing this prayer line, hallelujah, this Bible study, this new beginnings, dear God, stretch them. Do a new thing. New beginnings, you're doing a new thing, dear God. And we thank you today. We thank you for Elder John, Dr. John. We thank you for Dr. Suzanne, who's bringing word today, dear God. Lord, anoint her fresh. Hallelujah. Bless her, dear God. We thank you that you're taking over, Holy Ghost. And whatever and however she gives us the word, Lord, we're going to sit and we're going to eat and we're going to digest and ingest your word. So, Lord, ready us. Give us a ready heart, hallelujah, to receive what the kingdom is saying to us, the church, through your woman, daughter, servant. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for Pastor Miles today taking over. We give you praise and glory for his life. We thank you for everyone on this line, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise and glory because that is what we do. What can we give a God that has everything? We give you our worship. Our worship and our praises unto you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And to God be the glory. God bless you, Pastor Miles.
Bless you, bless you. The scripture is clear. Please. James chapter 5, verse 16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I'm not one to judge, but I know that hit glory and you said ground in the heart on tonight. Now, without further delay, we're going to turn over the platform to the wife, the evangelist, the elder, the co-part, the helpmeet of our moderator of Blog Talk Radio, Elder Dr. Suzanne Clay. Reverend First Lady Doctor made up a title for you once again. Are you there?
Amen, sir.
The floor is yours.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you, Sister Edna, Minister Edna, for that opening prayer. I truly appreciate it. Today we're going to leap from the book of Luke. And the Lord has been keeping me here, Luke 11. Before I start this, I want to say this and just mention my husband. He's been a blessing. And actually, he taught on some verses this for Sunday school this past Sunday. He referenced Luke 11, and I've been just staying in it, chewing on it, as folks say. And he did a wonderful job. Is it called exegeting? I can't remember the word. So he did a wonderful job. So I just want to say that, make sure that I say that publicly. So here we go. Well, let me tell you, we're in Luke 11.
I'm not sure if I'm going over my phone because I can't hear, so I'm going to try to lower it out and come back in.
Sister Terrence, use the phone number that I sent. That's in the chat. Okay, here we go. So in the beginning of Luke 11, Jesus is teaching about prayer. And this is where he teaches the Lord's Prayer to the disciples. The disciples wanted to know how to pray like the disciples of John the Baptist were taught to pray. So the Lord gave them a prayer and gave them an example of prayer. Then Jesus responds to controversy. And in his response to controversy, he is talking to his people, to the Jews. And he's talking to them about, and he also was healing in chapter, in this next part, in chapter verses 14 on. He did a healing. They criticized him for healing. They were constantly criticizing for different things and saying somebody in the crowd said that it was of the devil. And he went back and he talked to them about if it were from the devil, then the devil would be rejecting himself, you know. So he goes on and he teaches and he expounds his wisdom here. And then he goes on to tell them that, you know, look at the lessons that are before you. And you should be receiving revelation because if they know and they've been taught, through oral, passing the word on orally, what the prophet said of old, and here there were things happening right there in front of them, and they're not using their spiritual eyes and ears to receive. So he talks to them about that. Now, the Pharisees were absolutely amazed at the way that Jesus was teaching and talking to the crowd. So one of the Pharisees invites them to dinner, and that's where we pick up. The title of our talk today is Jesus Eats with the Pharisees, with a Pharisee. I'm going to begin from Luke 11, verse 37. And it's a long reading, but it'll make sense. I want you to listen. I'm reading from the Passion Bible. After Jesus finished saying these things, a Pharisee asked him to come for a meal at his home. Everyone had been seated at the table. The religious leader noticed that Jesus had not performed the cleansing ritual before he began eating, and he was shocked. Well, Jesus had been observant of all of the rituals and the Jewish way, new Jewish law. He spent time in the temple. He spent time in the synagogues, so he knew that. He was raised Jewish. And he knew that he was to wash. And what they did, they would wash before every meal. They also had a special washing ritual if they were going to eat bread. So it was typical for them to wash their hands. And they would wash their hands by pouring water on their hands alternately six times, and then drying their hands with a towel, alternating the towel as they dried their hands. So everyone else had done that and then had a seat at the table. And Jesus just came in and sat down. Well, you know Jesus. This is the same Christ, the same Jesus Christ, the same Messiah that kicked folks out of the temple. This was a teachable moment, and Jesus took advantage of it. You see, the Pharisees were impressed when the Lord was talking to everyone else. The Pharisees were impressed when he corrected other folks, when he talked about Jonah and the whale, when he talked about Revelation light and everything. They were impressed with him. So this Pharisee was so impressed that he invited him to dinner. He goes on and says, after the Pharisee that invited him was just appalled that he would sit like that and do something like that. I know that if you think about being invited to someone's house, Don and I recently had dinner with some friends. Another couple had invited us over. And when you're at someone's house, you're very careful to use all of your manners. You're very careful not to offend your host and hostess. You're very careful to be ready to receive and to be grateful for whatever you receive, to express gratitude for the invitation. But Jesus used this as a teachable moment. He didn't behave that way. He shocked them. Jesus said, you Pharisees are like those who will wipe clean only the outside of a cup or a bowl, leaving the inside filthy. You are foolish to ignore the greed and wickedness within you. Shouldn't the one who cleans the outside also clean the inside? If you free your heart of greed, show compassion and true generosity to the poor, you will have more than clean hands. You will be clean within. So we remember that the Pharisees, they had a lot of rules. this religious sect had a lot of rules. They were very critical of other people. And
this religious sect had a lot of rules. They were very critical of other people. And
I'm hearing feedback.
This religious sect had a lot of rules. They were very.
I don't know why it keeps repeating. Okay. So they were very critical of the Jewish people, that they were
sound went out again.
That they were supposed
to
be teaching and learning from. They were supposed to be teaching and learning and giving and pouring on wisdom, pouring on the scriptures and teaching these people, but instead they were looking for what was wrong instead of what was right. They were showing their arrogance and their superiority around over people by looking for things, as I said, that were wrong instead of what's right, and not taking care of themselves, that they were wicked. They were greedy. Remember, it was a temple. It was a temple that Jesus threw the money changers and the those who were selling out. That was the temple that they threw folks out of. The temple was a place of worship. The temple was supposed to be a place of worship. While the synagogue was a place for community, for socializing, for interaction, but the temple was sacred. Not that the synagogue wasn't sacred. Jesus is telling them that to just cleanse the outside, washing your hands, doing the ritual hand washing every morning, every night, and before and after every meal did not make them clean, that they were still wicked, that they were still greedy. They were still doing things that were ugly. Going to the mitzvah, it's like taking, being baptized. They would lower themselves in the tub and do ritual cleansing that way. But they never changed their attitude. They never changed their hearts. Jesus says, you Pharisees are hypocrites, or you are obsessed with peripheral issues, paying meticulous tithes on the smallest of herbs that grow in your gardens. Of course, these matters you should do. But when you unjustly cheat others, when you ignore the most important duty of all, to walk in the love of God, readjust your values and place first things first. Then Jesus says, again, you Pharisees are hypocrites. You love to be honored before others with titles of respect, seeking public recognition, aspiring to seem more important than others, that they thought they were superior. Remember, the Pharisees were the educated sect, that they knew the word, they studied the word, and especially the laws. They believed the laws word for word, line after line, and they felt it was their duty to uphold those rules. Our word doesn't mention in this chapter the Sadducees or the other sects that were around, and I'm saying sects. S-E-C-T. Notice that the Lord keeps calling them hypocrites. Again, he says, you Pharisees, what hypocrites? Your true character is hidden like an unmarked grave that hides the corruption inside, defiling all who come in contact with it. Well, there was there was a rule, a a ritual that you couldn't, or is that a mitzvah, that you could not walk, you should not walk with walk on a grave, walk even on an unmarked grave, that they would challenge you or chastise you for walking on an unmarked grave. The Lord is saying their character is hidden, that they were evil, that they were spiteful, that they basically observed what they wanted to observe, that they were hard on the people that they were supposed to be leading and teaching and guiding. They weren't guiding them. Jesus he says, an interpreter was then there among them, and the interpreter knew religious law and blurted out, "Teacher, don't you realize that your words insult us?" And Jesus responded, "You are also hypocrites, you experts of the law. You crush people beneath the burden of obeying impossible religious regulations, yet you would never even think of doing all of them yourself. What hypocrites! You build monuments to honor the prophets of old, yet it was your murdering ancestors who killed them. The only prophet you'll honor is a dead one. In fact, by erecting monuments to the prophets your ancestors killed, you demonstrate your agreement with those murderers and bear witness to their deeds. You're no better than they. That is why God's wisdom is proclaimed. I will send to them apostles and prophets, though some they will murder and others they will persecute." We read this. The first thing I thought of was, and I'm just going to stop for a minute just to, because I get emotional. But the first thing I thought of is the church today. And not just, it's obvious to me when I look at this, and you may have thought the same thing, how does this apply to me? How does this apply today? Because when I read the word, I think, okay, Lord, I'm receiving this. How do I take action and apply this word in my life today? How does it fit? Why is this important? These are New Testament days. This is the New Testament that we're reading. How does this apply? So, and as I read it, I see the evangelical, those that call themselves evangelical, I may want to say, I see the evangelical white supremacists also see other churches that aren't walking in love. I think about a lot of our leaders, and all of us have been given the charge to lead, to evangelize, to share the word. Remember, the Lord said that it's love, God's love. The only commandments we need to follow, Christ said, is to love the Lord our God with all our might and to love our brothers. And I know I'm paraphrasing, to love our brothers and sisters. But are we doing that when the church, capital C, all of those that are under Christ, that call themselves to be Christians and under Christ, Are we truly loving one another? Are we truly teaching the word? Are we truly teaching the truth? I think about just in simple terms, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Are we being hypocrites? You know, I'm very I won't say Afrocentric, but I'm definitely pro-black. I don't want to, and I have to be careful to always remember that other people are doing what they were taught. Am I teaching something different? Am I teaching the truth the way the Lord wants us to teach it, to share, to demonstrate, to be examples of? I have co-lead a Bible study on Saturday morning, and it's about reconciliation in the church, or conciliation, because we can't reconcile what's never been together. Reconcile means do it again. So to come together, for the body of Christ to come together, because I know this is not pleasing to God. God's word says that a house divided cannot stand. A kingdom divided cannot stand. It'll come to ruin. And that goes to all of us, not just one church, not just one group. So just like the Pharisees, Sadducees, the Essenes, I believe that's how you say their name, and the Zealots, here we are, church, the white church, the Asian church, the Chinese, you know, the Indian, you know, church, and all of us calling ourselves Christians, but not loving one another. Deciding who deserves love and who doesn't. If you and I were made in the image of God, how can I look at you and say I hate you? If you look like me and we look like our father, how can that be? When I think of this chapter so far, I think about how we're so the peripheral issues. We're so wrapped up in what's different about being black or being white. We're so wrapped up about what Trump's doing. We're so wrapped up about whether it's right to have student loan forgiveness with the welfare and taking care of children, you know, wrapped up in making decisions in our government, making decisions about what should be done, when what should be done is right here in the Word, to take care of the poor, take care of the poor, to take care of the widows and the orphans. We're supposed to educate our children. They're not poor people's children. They're children that just happen to have been born to poor people. They're God's children. I think about the part where the Lord talks about we build the monuments of the prophets, and that thought made me think of how when our family went to, had our family reunion in the Maryland, D.C. area, 1 year, and so a whole lot of us got on the train and rode down to see the Martin Luther King Monument. The monument is huge. It's absolutely beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But if you read and you think back in history, if you're old enough to remember that time, or if you study that time, there were very few people or not everybody supported Martin Luther King. Not everybody was celebrating him. He came up against a lot of opposition, not just from white people, but from his own people, and even Baptists, even though he was a Baptist minister. Even his own people. I think about Malcolm X. Same thing. For that matter, think about Abraham Lincoln. The same thing. They didn't like him. They were against him. But now, you know, we have a monument and everyone loves Abraham Lincoln. Think about that. Who are the prophets among us now? Not that Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, or those were prophets. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, who do we have? What is the word that the Lord has given you? Are you hiding it? Are you hiding it? Revelation light, words that the Lord has given you as revelation should not be hidden. He said, don't hide it in the basket. Don't hide it in the basement. That torches and lights, what the word that's been given to you, the action that the Lord has given you to complete, the assignment, must be completed. It must be given. It must be out there. We're supposed to teach the truth. We're supposed to guide. We're supposed to mentor. Further in this chapter, it says, God will hold this generation accountable for every drop of blood of every murdered prophet shed from the beginning of time until now, from the blood of Abel, who was killed by his brother, to the blood of Zechariah, who was murdered in the middle of the temple court. Yes, I tell you, will be responsible for it all. We have to think about the responsibility we have, and I'll say it again, we have today, and that is to share the word, but to also teach the truth and to reach across the aisle to our white brothers and sisters and pray for them and pray for our people, that all of us will see Christ in one another and that we will be supportive of one another and celebrate what the Lord has called us to do, to love. The Lord says further, you are nothing but hypocrites, you experts of religion. You take away from others the key that opens the door to the house of knowledge. Not only do you lock the door and refuse to enter, but you also do your best to keep others from the truth. Just teach the truth. Tell the truth. All that Jesus said enraged religious leaders and experts of the law, and they began to oppose him furiously. But these are the same people that were giving them the attaboy when he was talking to the Jewish crowd. And now they're furious. They harassed Jesus all the way out the door, spewing out their hostility, arguing over everything he said, wanting nothing more than to find a reason to entrap him with his own words. So what's the lesson here? Yes, it's discipleship. Yes, it's evangelism. But did you receive anything personally? Did you receive anything personally?
All mics are open at this time. If you have anything, the question was posed, was positioned to us. Did we receive anything personally? And it was presented to us twice. And I presented it the third time. that caused us to examine ourselves for the fourth time and all mics are open. Did you receive anything personally? All mics are open at this time. Well, I'll tell you, you helped me to look at a few things that you brought back to my remembrance when it comes to scripture. And I've also was, you taught me something that I have to really look into. The temple is for worship. And Jesus tore the temple up twice. But I do remember, and I have to go back, when Jesus went into the synagogue, I can't recall in scripture where he did that for communion and fellowship. And then you talked about the, which made me think about something very deeply, the being pro-black, being pro-white. Now, those two things have one thing in common. Being pro-black and being pro-white, you have passion. Those two things have passion in common. And then you brought to my remembrance, and I have to find it in scripture where it talks about we are all made of one blood. And you also said that we are made in like our Father. We're made in his image, which is his spirit. And we're all made of one blood. How can I say I hate you? Let's have passion for the right thing, because we know no flesh shall glory in its presence. I want to thank you for that, because you brought that back to my remembrance and you planted the seed. Is there anyone else? Any,
well, yeah,
any
this
those
was on the phone, but something was on. Can you hear me on the phone?
Yes, Sister Sharon.
Okay, because I won't be able to hear your response, but. One thing that I took away from is about hiding God's revelation, his assignment in my life. That really hit me to say, you know what, Lord, am I doing, am I just doing this work, or am I doing what you really want me to do? And then I thought about what you said about pro-black. Now, I've often said to people that, you know, people ask me about are you black or African. I will say I am the black experience. I'm a black woman with black children, and I love the black women and men. But also, I don't hate the other races. And you brought out that there's a difference, you know, because of being all God's children, we still can love who we are, but that does not mean that we should not love other races. So it's like we all, and then I like how you brought out about being one body in Christ. It really is just amazing to me how, you know, I remember when Dr. King, when they first had the statue in Birmingham, Alabama, I remember when that statue was put up, when he had the statue there, and it was nothing around that statue but dirt, not grass, not anything but dirt. But when you look at it now, it became a whole different monument because the body of Christ came together. Not just this pastor or this church, but they came together as one to make it happen. And I think sometimes, and I realize from what you were saying, that we have to stop being divided. We have to stop being divided on seeing about God's people. Because as long as we stay divided, then the enemy is going to continue to win. And he's winning in small and quite small latitudes because we're putting it in our children. And I thank you that you said, you know, one thing about it is that our love, you know, our love cannot have conditions on it. It should not be if you're black, if you're white, if you're fat, if you're tall, if you're skinny, if you're round, if you're bald, or if you got a full head of hair. That should not matter whether we love one another, especially even in the body, the household of faith, but even outside of the household of faith. And this really was an amazing, amazing message. I couldn't get it all, but the parts I got was really needy. So thank you, my sister. And I'm going back to the phone. I'm on the phone also. So
okay.
Praise God. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, for you who may not have able to hear the whole message, always remember you can go back to Blog Talk Radio, type in We Can Begin Again, on New Beginnings Ministry and hear the message in its entirety, because it is also clear and recorded on the phone as I'm also looking after right now. While we still have time, go ahead, speak.
I would like to add in, I got a lot out of this kind of reinforcing the way I grew up and the education, and I'm still growing up and learning. And there has to be a demonstration of love and not hatred. There's so many people engage in hypocrisy, and that's not what God wanted. And the examples of the temple in which people were washing their hands, they're clean outwardly, but inwardly they're not. Sometimes we can say and do things that are just very hypocritical and mean-spirited, and we have to demonstrate if we spread the gospel, people are going to pay more attention to what we do than what we pay attention to what we say, but they're going to pay more attention to what we do. And if you spread the gospel, that's an important job, that we actually carry ourselves in an appropriate manner. And a lot of us have been hurt and are dealing with difficulties. But anyway, what I got out of today's lesson is just a reinforcement, spiritual building, and also to stay on the right path. You have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all, but you can actually demonstrate a sense of kindness and love for your brother and sister. And we're brothers and sisters by God's blood, not just genetically our parents and family members, but we are family, Christian brothers and sisters, Christian families, and we are God's children. We share that, but a lot of times we forget that. But anyway, amen and thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, my brother.
Amen. Well,
I see here. At this hour, time is almost far spent, and I see that our moderator is actually not in the studio at this time. I'm wondering if he's actually on the line and have some words that he would like to say, if he's on the line. Brother moderator, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you.
Okay, the mic is open for you. I see that you're currently not in the studio. Was there some comments you would like to add?
He's here.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't see him in the studio. Okay, brother moderator, the floor is yours, and take over.
Well, I'm not going to take over because actually I'm just I'm listening in, but I think
okay.
You know, that it was a wonderful, and I like the idea of. Focusing on that we do things from a ritual sense, you know, in terms of the things that we do externally. But here the lesson is focusing on that we have to be clean internally. And we realize that God knows our heart. Man can't see our heart, but God can see our heart. So what we do and what we say externally could sound good. It could look right. But on the inside, it could be all messed up. So that's the message, you know, that I received from this of knowing that it's not just what we say. It's not how we act, but making sure that our heart is right. And that's why, you know, the word talks about God looks at our heart. He looks at our heart and determines that. So we need to be clean on the inside, making sure, you know, that we are examples, you know, of kingdom principles. But I do thank you for allowing me to come on and share that comment. May God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Amen. Is there another question, comment, or concern at this hour? Well, if there's not, and all hearts and minds are clear. If all hearts and minds are clear, we'd like to thank
Praise God. Thank you.
We'd like to thank Sister Minister Edna Herman for that fervent prayer. And I would like to thank the Clays Brother Moderator and his wife, Sister Reverend Doctor, for allowing me to host once again to fill in and stand in the gap. I do not count it lightly, and I thank you all once again for trusting in me to try to fill in, and I thank you for that. And at this time, I'm going to ask that our speaker, Dr. Suzanne Clay, to give us any closing remarks and to close us out in prayer.
Thank you all so much for being here with me, and I hope that it was clear that I did what I was supposed to do. Of course, please pray for me, pray for my husband, and we'll pray for you. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for time together this evening. We thank you, Father God, for your awesome presence in our lives. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for enveloping us, Father God, wherever we happen to be sitting right now, listening to the word and fellowshipping together, be it online or in person. It's so sweet. It's so sweet. It's so sweet. We thank you, Lord, that the words in the scripture that's been read this evening, Father God, that it take root, that it take root, that it goes out, Father God, and serves the purpose that you have for it, dear Lord. I thank you, Father God, that every heart, every person that's around us this evening, Father God, that they receive what you would have them to receive, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that we all have a nice rejuvenative rest this evening, Father God, and wake us up in the morning, dear Lord, ready to begin again. We praise you. We thank you. Amen. Amen.
Remember, we're here at New Beginnings Ministry. We love you, but God loves you best. Have a blessed week and a blessed week.
Again with the passion of a child, my heart is And I